America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Yes, a great nation, but is it a great nation where people are losing their minds? That's what it looks like. Increasingly, you see cases of insanity involving the American left, the American right, people walking into stores, committing unspeakable crimes of property destruction. There's a whole increase, by the way, in arson that is problematic in Tacoma and around the country. What exactly is going on? Daniel Henninger of the Wall Street Journal believes that he knows, and he will talk to us about it and share that knowledge and insight. Coming up this hour on the Medved Show, we will also be looking at a number of new movies, including a new installment and a series of very successful and much beloved animated films, the Ice Age series. This one, it actually focuses on a character from a previous Ice Age installment, who is Buck Wild, who is a one-eyed weasel. Is it worth looking at it with both eyes? Also a new romantic comedy about a divorced single parents who come together very romantically through the magical and enchanted world of a sadomasochistic kink. Well, that's different. We'll tell you about it, but not too graphically, coming up on the Medved Show. And also, speaking of not too graphically, there is the new, it's not so much a pro-Trump song, though it's by a very prominent Trump supporter, as an anti-Biden song with the chorus featuring Let's Go Brandon. We will be providing a very useful and necessary Medved music review. But first off, with war in the air, so much with the discussion about what's going on in Ukraine, it was very appropriate to find one of our Call of the Week classics going all the way back to 2010. Listen.
The Call of the Week.
I get so overwhelmed. But, like, I don't understand.
It's educational.
Like, everyone goes to the bathroom on campus every day, unless they have some great powers.
It's informative.
Your talk show creates a hostile environment.
Feel the love.
I love Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro, please keep it up.
Hear the hate.
And you're the devil. You're the big Hitler.
Every Friday, exclusively on The Michael Medved Show.
And the winner.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Medved. Once again, why would we want to go into another war? And you're the one that always says we can't have health care for our American citizens, but we can spend all our taxpayer money. Three wars? Come on, Mr. Medved. That's all you Republicans want to do. You want to go and kill innocent people.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
With our taxpayer money. We're not going to allow you to do that anymore. We cannot go around solving all the world's problems and not spend any money on ourselves. That's what I have to say. Our hot-earned taxpayers' money. We're already involved in two wars. I mean, I don't understand you people.
What do you mean, you people?
All you want to do is just war, 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 and you're the biggest whiners in the world.
Stop whining.
I hope that all of those good Republicans get tired of all of you whining all the time.
Stop it.
About everything President Obama does, and he's trying to do good for our country. Back in the 60s, we could go to college for free.
Listen to what the flower people say.
And look how much money we have to pay to send our kids to college. Now, it's ridiculous.
Jeanette,
you know, we
Jeanette,
want people in out there that's
Jeanette,
going to work for
Jeanette,
the middle class.
Jeanette.
We do not want any more war, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, what is it for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
War.
Huh.
Well, she certainly said it as forcefully as she knew how. What's fascinating about that, listening back to that, that's from the Obama era. It was 2010, May in 2010. And I don't know what new war she was talking about, frankly. I don't know. Maybe people were talking about some efforts to safeguard us against ISIS, which, by the way, ISIS is sort of back, and there is ongoing struggle involving Kurdish forces against an ISIS recurrence in Iraq. And thank God for our Kurdish allies, you can only say. But one of the things that I think everyone has been very careful about, including people in the Congress of the United States who are very concerned, and rightly so, about our alliance and Ukraine and basically dealing with the situation in at Russia's border. But no one has spoken seriously, I don't believe, of actually sending American troops, boots on the ground, as people say, to deal with the situation in Ukraine. There is actually a great deal going on right now about reactions to some of the contempt that was expressed for Joe Manchin, who actually is riding pretty high. He's very well respected by most of his colleagues, and even the Democrats who feel so betrayed by him will tell you they have that respect. And he certainly is respected by the governor of his home state of West Virginia, Jim Justice. Manchin himself was governor of West Virginia earlier. And basically, he was giving a State of the State speech when he picked up his dog, and he actually turned his dog's rear end to the camera. And why did he do that? He was a kind of ticked at Bette Midler and others who had criticized West Virginia because they were selling a mansion. Bette Midler had tweeted about West Virginia back in December. Joe Manchin, who represents a population smaller than Brooklyn, has done to the rest of America who wants to move forward, not backward, like his state, is horrible. He sold us out. He wants us all to be just like his state, West Virginia, poor, illiterate, and strung out. So this is what Governor Jim Justice said in his State of the State speech. Listen, this is clip two.
Absolutely too many people doubted us. They never believed in West Virginia. They never believed in West Virginia that we could do it. They never believed that the Nucors or the Green Power or Owens and Minor, they never believed they'd be here. They told every bad joke in the world about us. And so from that standpoint, Baby Dog tells Bette Midler and all those out there, kiss her honey.
The dog looks a little bit embarrassed, but it's certainly a potent moment. And that's not the kind of craziness that that Daniel Henninger is talking about. Daniel Henninger of the Wall Street Journal, writing about America's current epidemic, maybe even a pandemic, of mindlessness. What does he mean and what do we do about it? We'll get to that coming up with Daniel Henninger.
Your outlet for outrage.
It is outrageous what you are saying.
The Michael Medved Show.
This is outrageous.
On on the Michael Medved Show, it is always a pleasure to welcome back one of the most influential and brilliant columnists in the country. In fact, he's been a multiple Pulitzer Prize nominee and winner. Daniel Henninger does the Wonderland column every Thursday in the Wall Street Journal. And yesterday's column was one that I think is particularly important under the heading America's Mindlessness Epidemic. And we're not just talking about the random crimes and the looting and the crudeness and the... We're talking about a whole breakdown of what precisely, Daniel?
Hi there, Michael. Well, it's a breakdown of so many people's sense of fact that what they're doing has any consequences or that it is in any way connected to any standards of behavior, because I think we're increasingly heading towards a society in which we have many people who are acting without any sense that there are norms, limits, standards of what they can do. And certainly, I think we're seeing that with some of these random shootings and killings that have been going on lately. As I say, there was a time, you know, when career criminals used to carry around a calculus in their head of how much time they would serve for murder, armed robbery, burglary, and such. Current criminals seem to have no sense whatsoever. They just kill at will, regardless of the consequences. But I think we're seeing that at a lot, even in politics as well. Political protest used to be going out into the streets last summer during the George Floyd demonstrations, which occurred in about 200 cities. We saw them disintegrate into violence and looting. That you had people fighting with the police as though they were engaged in some sort of video game, just a smashing things. That's what smash and grab looting is. It's been going on in L.A. and San Francisco and elsewhere. And I would add to that, as I did in the column, Michael, even the Capitol riot that took place on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. I mean, there seemed to be a kind of joy in destruction taking place among many of those people. And, you know, I would suspect a lot of them probably have never been seriously arrested for anything, but they are now facing indictments and maybe facing time in prison. And you want to ask, what were you thinking? Didn't it occur to you if you engage in activity like this, you could be facing significant jail time? But this mindlessness, this unhinged behavior, I'm suggesting, has somehow become epidemic in our time across society, whether it's politics, behavior, or criminal behavior.
And again, there's so many different illustrations of what you're describing here. One that I'm particularly concerned about is graffiti. Everywhere, even in cities like my home in Seattle, where 20 years ago it was completely different. And demographically, the city hasn't changed, but in terms of just the idea of standards, norms, decent behavior. Now, does some of this involve some decisions by ultra-liberal and lax and what people used to call permissive law enforcement? For instance, shoplifting, which is a devastating crime if you're trying to run a business. There are many places, including some of the biggest cities in the country, where they won't even go after shoplifters anymore. Wouldn't that be another example?
Yeah, that's a perfect example of the standards I'm talking about collapsing entirely. And when the question one has to ask is, what happened? And I think it's happened over a long period of time. And the perpetrators who are running wild, I think, are taking advantage of this breakdown in the idea of accountability. But it had, in my mind, Michael, had to start at the top. I mean, there's a phrase known as adults in the room. Adults in the room are the people who are supposed to establish and enforce some reasonable degree of order. And let me very quickly say, these standards and norms that we're talking about, as you well know, they're very hard to establish. I mean, we just sort of assume it's out there as a given. No, it's not a given. It takes hundreds of years to get to the point where society can call itself civilized, where people take responsibility for behaving in ways that don't crack the foundations of a society. And we're on the brink here of something like that because the adults in the room, the establishment elite, over the years, starting on the left, found ways to rationalize criminal behavior or to rationalize protests that turn into violence, to explain them away. And the more you explain things away like that in the beginning, the longer, over time, it rises and accumulates to the point where in the aggregate, is what I'm saying now, in the aggregate, whether it's crime, politics, personal behavior, it adds up to a society that begins to look inherently unstable. And I think a lot of people in this country are beginning to worry that the society they're living in now has reached a point of instability as to be a danger to it.
You quote the famous article about broken windows from 40 years ago by James Q. Wilson and William Kelling. And the article says at the time that failure to do anything about a score of drunks or 100 vagrants may destroy an entire community. What can we, very briefly, Daniel, what can we do about it?
We can restore what Kelling and Wilson wrote about, the sense that broken windows may seem like nothing, but if we as a society stop looking to fix the broken windows in our own backyards, in our high schools, in the streets, in the workplace, that we can expect our neighborhood, so to speak, our social neighborhood, to disintegrate, to become a place that scares us and where we don't want to live. That's the confrontation. That's the decision I think we've got to make here in the near future about the standards of behavior.
It's collapse of authority. It reminds me of a very fine book by David Gelernter about the World's Fair of 1939, where he talks about the big difference between 1939 and America and now is that people had, back then, some kind of respect for authority. Even sometimes the authority didn't so much deserve it. But the idea that everything is challenged in the United States now, it's subjected to conspiracy theories, doubts, and often paranoia. Daniel Henning, is his column is Daniel Henninger. His column, America's Mindlessness Epidemic, is linked at our website at michaelmedved.com. You should have a pleasant, positive, and healthy weekend. We will be right back with a musical attack on President Biden coming up on The Medved Show.
Sign up today for the free Medved newsletter with new columns, commentaries, and movie reviews. Go to michaelmedved.com.
The music there is Kid Rock's All Summer Long. He has a new song called We the People. It's a very political song, and it's the subject of one of our periodic Michael Medved music reviews.
The Michael Medved Music Review. Covering the creative geniuses whose timeless artistry can move us, inspire us, and enrich our lives. And now, it's time for the Michael Medved Music Review.
And this is the new song. It's called We the People, where the chorus is, "Let's go, Brandon." And I think people know what that means. He is a very strong supporter of President Trump and a very outspoken critic of President Biden. And part of the beginning of this song basically has a lot of FUs and concerning President Trump and Dr. Fauci. Listen.
We the people, and all we do, reserve the right to scream you. Wear your mask, take your pills, now a whole generation's mentally ill. Man, Fauci. But COVID's near, it's coming to town. We gotta act quick, shut up.
So it's basically spirited, and then he continues to offer the same sentiments toward Twitter and mainstream media. Listen.
Facebook! Twitter, too! And the mainstream media! You, too!
Yeah, and then there's lots. It's then follow my lead to the promised land, weather the storm and take my hand, because we the people, we got to unite to follow that good time guiding light. Okay, what's interesting about this is there's a certain amount of, and there's more than you heard, of harsh rhetoric, and then it's we the people, we've got to all come together and be like one. We got to get together. He says that, you know, constantly for just being a Trump fan, I'm attacked in the media day in, day out. He said, I don't mind taking a punch, but I hit back, mother beep, and I hit hard. We keep fighting for the right to be free. And every human being doesn't have to agree. We all bleed red, brother. Listen to me. It's time for love and unity. Well, maybe time for love and unity. There's no unity even in the world of entertainment when it gets political. You've probably heard something about the battle with Neil Young. Neil Young, basically creator of some beautiful music. I mean, there's, remember the song Harvest Moon?
Come a little bit closer, hear what I have to say.
Well, Neil Young is not sending a message of love and understanding so much right now as a message of impatience. And there's a new study, by the way, that shows that vaccinated people, who are close to 80% now of American adults, don't so much like unvaccinated people. They have negative stereotypes about unvaccinated people. Unvaccinated people are okay with vaccinated people. But in any event, Young has challenged Spotify. It has become high profile of unexpected flashpoint in the battle over misinformation and free speech online. He has ordered that all of his songs and all of his music be removed from Spotify, where it had been one of the main attractions, unless they removed Joe Rogan, who was another main attraction, because of Neil Young's concern with misinformation that Joe Rogan has promoted on his show. It raises questions about the power of performing artists to control where their work is heard. In a statement posted to his website on Wednesday, Neil Young, said Spotify, the home of life-threatening COVID misinformation, he added, has lies being sold for money. His criticism of Joe Rogan, a comedian and actor who has become Spotify's most popular podcast host, sometimes speaking at great length with controversial figures, came after a group of hundreds of scientists, professors, and public health experts asked Spotify to take down an episode of Rogan's show from December 31st, an episode that featured Robert Malone, Dr. Malone, who talked about falsehoods concerning COVID-19 vaccines, according to the group's public letter. We regret Neil's decision to remove his music from Spotify, the service added, but hope to welcome him back soon. The point about all of this is that whether you identify with left or right, wouldn't it be preferable to borrow a phrase that was a title of a pretty good book by Laura Ingraham years ago called Shut Up and Sing? Nobody needs to hear the politics of Dixie Chicks or basically anyone who you are going to for music in particular can be such a soothing, satisfying, unifying force in the world. And yes, sometimes musicians, even very great musicians, have awful politics, terrible politics. There were important composers, living composers, who were supporters of fascism. Ottorino Respighi, who wrote The Pines of Rome and The Fountains of Rome, big Italian composer. He loved Mussolini. And he had references to Mussolini thrown into his music. Now, I'm not trying to compare Kid Rock and Neil Young and Joe Rogan to Mussolini. But really, less political, maybe, on this one. We'll be right back with some movies that are not political per se, but they do have some controversial messages, at least one of them. Movies coming up on The Medved Show.
There's a time where someone from the outside has to step in and take control.
Michael Medved.
Michael Medved Show. Looking forward very much, maybe even some more sun here in the Great Northwest, which is usually this time of year the Great North Wet. And I hope everybody can enjoy the little bit of minutes of daylight that we are getting as we move along through the year. And by the way, and thank you for good wishes for our wedding anniversary, 37 years yesterday. And that's kind of amazing. Makes me smile to think about it and to think about kids and grandkids who were the result. Okay, it is also a weekend when this is not a great season for great new movies, but there are a bunch of choices, including one by a perennial Oscar nominee or competitor, the very best, well, not entirely, but some selections from Hollyweird. Okay, that perennial Oscar winner was Woody Allen. He has a new film. He's had trouble getting his films distributed the way they used to be because of all the focus on charges against him. By the way, Woody Allen makes some awful movies. He makes some great movies. But I don't believe the charges against him brought by his family. And new movie by Woody Allen, which is called Rifkin's Festival, is stars Wallace Shawn playing the Woody Allen part, and he has a much younger wife, who sounds familiar, played by Gina Gershon, and she is a publicist for a movie company. He is a guy who does lectures, apparently very pretentious lectures, in classic movies at a New York university, think NYU. And she takes him off to a real film festival that's in Spain, the San Sebastian Festival, where she is fooling around with a director who's a contestant of the festival and who is being hailed for his new movie. And meanwhile, the Wallace Shawn character, well, he's wandering around trying to figure out life. Listen.
I actually don't know where to begin.
Since coming here, my mind started playing tricks on me. Now I'm beginning to question everything, what I want, who I am. Who in the world am I?
Are you under any stress?
My marriage has been fraying.
I think we should lay all of our cards on the table.
How many cards do you have?
Okay, and the film has its moments. The best thing in the movie is occasionally he describes dreams, the main character played by Wallace Shawn, and the dreams reference classic music movies like Jules and Jim or Wild Strawberries or The Seventh Seal. There's a hilarious Seventh Seal segment with Christoph Waltz playing Death. But when those old clips and satires with the characters sort of spliced into old black and white footage, when that's your best and most enjoyable part of a film, it's not great. It's basically, there are some scenes of the Spanish coast, and again, those references, which are entertaining, but it's certainly not up to the level of a typical Woody Allen film in terms of either humor, characterizations, or really plot, of which there is none. 2.5 stars for Rifkin's Festival. It's rated PG-13 with a few sexual references, but mild. Then there is The Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild. This, believe it or not, is the sixth film, in the Ice Age series, which goes all the way back to 2001. So it's been coming at you for a long time. And this time, the two possum brothers who were part of the last film decide to leave the home they've been sharing with a sloth and two mastodons, one of the mastodons voiced by Ray Romano. And they make common cause with a weasel with one eye, voiced by Simon Pegg. And that weasel's name is Buck Wild. Listen.
Oh, no. Crash and Eddie, we're back to the lost world.
And I thought I made bad choices.
Hello, boys.
Buck Wild at your service. What brings you two to my world?
We want to live a life of adventure, like you.
It's a bad time for a tropical vacation.
Everyone, we face a grave threat.
Can you repeat that? I had a marshmallow in my ear.
This is our chance to prove ourselves.
Destiny hurts.
You make up for in bumbling ineptitude.
And bumbling ineptitude is on display to a fair extent in this movie. The animation is gaudy and garish and not particularly convincing. The vocal talents, basically vocal talents from the previous film, have not re-enlisted in this one, and you miss some of those old voices and characters. There is a new villain known as Orson, who is a little creature that basically resembles a little ambulatory overgrown brain. And there's a struggle for the control of the Lost World, which is where dinosaurs are supposed to exist down below. It's the film is barely adequate, and certainly the worst of the Ice Age series, which has included some very entertaining films. It is now streaming on Disney Plus. It is rated PG, appropriately for regular animated violence, and it's 2 stars. And there's another film which has been getting very strong reviews and doesn't deserve them. The film is called They, Them, Us. It stars 2 veteran actors who are perfectly adequate. They're actually kind of good. Joey Slotnick, who has been around for a long time, and Amy Hargreaves. They play 2 people who are both recently divorced and trying to raise 2 kids each. The kids are a mess. One of them has a serious drug problem, who's 16. And another one is, hence the title, is gender binary. And so she uses they, them, pronouns. And the movie is called They, Them, Us. What's so unusual about it, and what's drawn a great deal of praise, is these 2 characters find each other and develop a relationship based on their involvement in the fun-loving world of kink, as it's called. They become sort of sadomasochistic, bondage-dominating, the BDSM, bondage-domination, sadomasochistic subcult, which is treated here very affectionately and as a source of great fun and liberation. And there are darker elements to the film, but not involving the very dark sadism. And depending on how you feel about handcuffs and chains and whips and pokers, and it's very tough to take. And it's supposed to be funny. There's also a satirical element where the main character, the father in this blended family, is trying to teach at a Christian school and pretends to be a Christian, and again, the whole idea of Christian education is not treated with any kind of respect or sympathy. You can sometimes feel some of the pain that is induced here involving drug overdoses and other serious matters, but the notion that this is a romantic comedy or should be counted and considered and evaluated like a rom-com, it's ridiculous. It's unrated, and it would be rated a very, very hard R because of some of the sadomasochistic fun, so-called, elements that are part of it. I'm sorry, I don't think the world is yet ready for a film that portrays a sadomasochism as a subcult, as a ticket to happiness, joy, and romance. 2 stars for They, Them, Us, one of the more ambitious films ever shot in Columbus, Ohio. Meanwhile, a new study on how much do vaccinated Americans really dislike the unvaccinated. And Apple upsets online critics with a pregnant man and other progressive emojis. That and the latest on the most important issues of our time, all coming up for you next week, starting Monday in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.